This is the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Junior Alvarado sends Frank's Rocket through toward the inside, tries to come off the rail, and does, setting sights on Pretty Birdie. Down inside, Last Leaf cut the corner with a nifty move there. Top of the stretch, Pretty Birdie trying to fend off Frank's Rocket. Frank's Rocket willingly and easily takes the lead, but Last Leaf continues to close. Frank's Rocket's in front of length and a half. Last Leaf trying to close in toward the rail. Frank's Rocket having to work for it, and she'll get it by three quarters in the end. Last Leaf gave her a scare. Pretty Birdie third, Capellia fourth.
Now here's Bobby Newman and Bob Nastanovich.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm Bobby Newman, along with Bob Nastanovich. We've got 11 races we are going to talk about tonight on the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview. Bob, we thought we were going to have 12, but unfortunately the Singletary, which was supposed to be the Sunday feature at Santa Anita, did not fill, so we're going to go with 11.
That's a shame, but this is a real magical mystery tour of North American racetracks on the show today, and we'll welcome back Woodbine to the fold, Bobby, opening weekend at Woodbine.
And, of course, this is Woodbine Week, all week here on HRRN. We'll talk about both the Saturday and Sunday stakes at Woodbine as part of the show tonight. Folks, AmWager is giving away money. New customers get a $150 sign-up bonus plus an instant $10 bonus for HRRN listeners. Go to link.amwager.com/HRRN. You'll get $10 instantly for signing up. Then deposit $150, bet $150, and get a $150 lump sum bonus. It's just that easy. AmWager is a wagering platform that's loaded with valuable tools and features, including odds charts, odds predictions, and much more. You'll also get free access to Form to Win. It's a revolutionary app that analyzes past performance data in just minutes. So go to link.amwager.com/HRRN to sign up and get your bonuses. AmWager, built by horse players for horse players. All right, Bob, we're going to kick it off in New York, and the featured race at Aqueduct tomorrow is the Woodhaven Stakes. Goes as race six on the card. Three-year-olds going a mile on the turf. By the way, the turf course looks absolutely beautiful for the start of the turf season up in New York, as they've now been running on it for the past couple of days. Seven talented three-year-olds going in the Woodhaven tomorrow, Bob, and favorite on the morning line is number two, Carson's Run.
Yeah, three-year-old boys here, you know, and these three-year-old races at this time of year are difficult to assess because some of these horses have had the winter off, some of them haven't done much over the winter, some have improved mentally and physical from their juvenile campaigns, and many of them have stayed the same or in some cases regressed. Clearly the best two-year-old of this group was the morning line favorite, Carson's Run, the two, trained by Christoph Clement and ridden by Dylan Davis. Ridden by Dylan Davis for all four of his starts and really had a wonderful season, including a grade one win in Canada in the summer stakes, in which he made a 10-wide bid down their expansive turf course. He deserved to line up in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. Had a tough trip that day behind Unquestionable and Others, got beat 3 3/4. But before that, he did nothing wrong. Son of Cupid, really with a lovely turf pedigree, must be strongly considered. Obviously, Chad Brown has a sterling record in these type of races in New York, and he's got Wally World in here, the six, and More Than Ready colt, who seems like he's gradually improving. He ran a good race last time at Tampa on February 9th when he was beaten by Full Nelson, who came back and won after that race. And a real interesting entrant in here is the three, Works For Me. He's by Daddy Longlegs out of a sold-out mare, and he's exclusively sprinted in his career, including a good third over this course, beaten a half length last year in the Atlantic Beach on November 4th. Had a little prep race at the fairgrounds, a race that came off the turf, didn't run badly as a 6-5 favorite in there. Has been training pretty well at Keeneland and picks up Irad Ortiz, who is he ever out of form, Irad Ortiz? He's winning at a 28% clip at Aqueduct when he shows up there, just basically wins at that kind, those kind of numbers wherever he turns up. But I think that Carson's run, the two, is the class of this field. He does come from off of it, and notably, if you look at his work tab, he looks like one of these horses that's quite lazy in the morning. They can't motivate him in the morning, but he's never had that problem in the afternoon. So if Carson's run is as good or better than last year, I think he'll be tough to beat in the Woodhaven.
All right, I'm going to go with a newcomer of sorts, and that's number 7, Elysian Meadows, who in my mind has been facing consistently tougher competition on dirt than he's going to see on turf tomorrow. I mean, he's basically been running against Kentucky Derby runners and Resilience and No More Time and Society Man in races like the Wood Memorial and the Sam Davis. And although he isn't close to winning those races, he's not running awful in those races. And being by City of Light, especially out of a war front mare, I think there's no reason that Elysian Meadows couldn't handle the turf, at least breeding-wise. I think he's bred to handle it just fine. 9-2 on the morning line for a horse that I think might be the class of the field. We'll see if he takes to the grass. I'm going to take a shot with him to win the Woodhaven tomorrow up at Aqueduct. Opening day feature, well, it's no longer the Derby Trial at Churchill Downs. The opening day feature, which is now the opening night feature every year, is the Roxalana Overnight Stakes, named after a very fast filly from about 15, 20 years ago. This overnight stake for fillies and mares, sprinting 6 furlongs on the main track. We heard at the show open, Frank's Rocket was the winner of last year's Roxalana. Good, evenly matched field of 10 set to go in this year's renewal, Bob. And slight favorite on the morning line is number 6, Dazzling Blue.
Yeah, Roxalana was a great filly trained by Blackie Huffman, one of my favorite trainers of all time. Lovely that they have a race named after one of his superior runners during his training career. Let's start with Dazzling Blue. Dazzling Blue's 3-1 in the morning line, the formidable connections of Florent Giroux and Brad Cox, and Into Mischief filly 2-for-2 at Churchill Downs, really started her career in sparkling form, and definitely looked like one of the top 3-year-old fillies. She was a wonderful 2-year-old filly. Then one, she's had a lot of layoff lines. She's had some difficulties. She's always well bet. She ran a huge second on the victory ride last July behind Maple Leaf Mel. Her last two are suspect. It looks like they almost were trying to teach her to come from off the pace, and it just didn't work. So it'll be interesting to see their tactics tomorrow under Giroux if she's back to a straight send in this field. And if she is, she'll have to deal with Speedy Traveler, who's 3-for-3. I mean, she's been pretty dominant in her races, a fast track race and a 2 wet track races at Fairgrounds. Really one of the starlets of the meet down at the recently completed Fairgrounds meet, trained by the formidable Phil Bauer for his top owners, Rigney Racing. It'll be interesting to see if she steps up into competition, but I'm going to go with Last Leaf. I think it's shocking that Last Leaf's 10-1 in the morning line here. She ran a great race, probably the best race of her career, at 16-1 behind Frank's Rocket. There's no Frank's Rockets in here. During that campaign last year, she finished 3rd behind Echo Zulu. She almost beat Ovra, who we know how good she is, just a win machine. She faced Yugiri, Wicked Halo, a couple runs against Current Climate, who's in here, and that was on the synth. I just think that she really likes Churchill. I think she'll have a lively pace to charge into. And Eddie Keneally gets Luis Saez back to rider. He rode her a couple times last year, including that 3rd-place finish in that Grade 2 at Keeneland on October 7th. So my pick in here, I think she'll catch him this year. My pick's Last Leaf.
All right, I think one of the ones she'll have to catch is one that you mentioned, Speedy Traveler. I'm going to stick with her. She's just done nothing wrong thus far in 3 starts, and I happen to think she might be just faster than the other speed fillies in this field. If she's not, it's going to set it up for a mare like Last Leaf. There'll be 3 or 4 of them battling for the front end, but if anyone's to clear the field, I think that would be Speedy Traveler. If she gets out in front, I think she's going to be tough to catch. I can't believe she's 9-2 on the morning line. I think she's actually going to go off favored in tomorrow's Roxalana. Race 9 tomorrow, by the way, at Churchill Downs. It goes at about 10:45 p.m.
Yeah.
Eastern time. The featured event tomorrow at Charlestown is the It's Been Too Long Stakes for West Virginia-bred three-year-old fillies going the 4.5 furlong distance, which is very popular there on the bull ring at Charlestown. We've got a field of 8 gathering in this race, Bob, and number 5, J-Lo Diamond, I should say, is coming off back-to-back resounding wins.
Yeah, apparently we get the fastest West Virginia-bred fillies in the world here, Bob. You know, a lot of horses that know this track like the back of their hoofs. First of all, let's start off with Miss Bebop from the rail. She's quick. She'll be sent by Christian Geraldo. Trainer Tim Grahams is off to a very good start this meet. She seems to get a little bit late. You can't fault J-Lo Diamond. Her effort last time, in which she won by 6 3/4, was impressive. However, her chief foe in there, who went off 3-10 in that race, was Overnight Powwow. Overnight Powwow, ridden by Rashawn Latchman for trainer Cynthia McKee, who's struggling a bit this meet, is working up a storm at Charlestown, and she had a bad start last time. You can't have a bad start going 4.5 furlongs against decent horses anywhere, really. And I think that she can turn the tables, and if she's anywhere close to that 9-2 on the morning line, she's worth a bet.
All right. I'm not going to try to beat the favorite, J-Lo Diamond. The way she's just been trouncing fields, going only 4.5 furlongs, she just simply looks faster than this field to me. And I think she's just going to sprint right out to the lead and keep on going and get her third straight win, probably at a lower price than what she is on the morning line at 9-5. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to head out west for one of the few graded stakes on the weekend docket, the Grade 3 San Francisco Mile. This is the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
The 2024 Spring Meet at Churchill Downs kicks off April 27th with a slate of exciting race day events leading up to the 150th Kentucky Derby. Following the Kentucky Derby, Churchill Downs Spring Meet continues with live racing throughout May and June, including the Grade 1 Stephen Foster on June 29th. With 50 stakes races worth over $25 million and purses powered by the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund, you will not want to miss the Spring Meet at Churchill Downs. You can learn more about each day and see available ticket options by visiting churchilldowns.com.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with the crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information or instant payment, email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Hey, this is Bobby Newman. Join Jude Feld and me for our Derby Countdown shows Tuesday through Thursday of Kentucky Derby Week. We'll be broadcasting live from the backstretch at Churchill Downs. We'll speak with jockeys, trainers, owners, and handicappers, as well as bring you up-to-the-minute news leading up to the 150th Run for the Roses. The Derby Countdown Shows, presented by Hillendale at Alapa, Tuesday through Thursday of Kentucky Derby Week, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern. Listen live on Sirius 161, XM 206, or online at horseracingradio.net.
You're listening to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
Balnikov trying to kick it in on the far outside. He's finding a good stride now. He's got 2 lengths to gain. It's Flavius. El Bellator's running huge. And here comes Balnikov and Rio King from the back. They're together. Balnikov inside with the head in front. Rio King running the race of his life. I think it was Balnikov, but it was tight. Balnikov and Rio King in a photo in a terrific stretch duel in the San Francisco Mile with El Bellator at 50-1 off the nine-month break. He ran a huge race.
Matt Dinnerman on the call last year, the Grade 3 San Francisco Mile won by Balnikov. He is back tomorrow to try to defend his crown in what could be the final edition of the San Francisco Mile. Welcome back to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview here on HRRN. Bobby Newman, Bob Nastanovic. Before we get back to the stakes action, it's time now for the Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Well, some bad news here. Jockey Toledo out 2 months due to collarbone injury. Jockey Heavy and Toledo is expected to be out of action until late June after having minor surgery to repair his collarbone, while meet leading rider J.G. Torrealba will return to action April 26th, today, 5 days after they were involved in a spill at Laurel Park, according to the Maryland Jockey Club. Toledo was injured during the fourth race April 21st after being unseated when his mount Jackie A tripped over Torrealba and Bourbon and Ice, who had stumbled when in tight corners at the top of the stretch and fell. Both horses walked off the track. Quote, it was a dislocated collarbone from the breastplate. They had to go in, make a little incision, and do a tiny surgery on him. He spent 2 nights at shock trauma, but he's home now, said Toledo's agent Marty Leonard. He's going to be probably out 2 months. He's disappointed, but he's okay. It could have been much worse, end quote. That wraps up this afternoon's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. The May issue of Blood Horse Magazine Tablet is out and features 150 pages, including Masterpiece, an extraordinary special Kentucky Derby. Oh, that's Kentucky Derby 150 trophy. Missed the Big Dance and Interlopers, usual reasons for missing the Kentucky Derby. Derby heroes who hail from outside the Bluegrass State. Colorful Memories, Dr. Robert Copeland talks about Derby winners he treated during his fabled veterinary career. Setting the Vision, owner Breeder John Stewart is making a sizable first impression. And Bloodhorse Market Watch, Derby stats on sire, trainer, and jockeys. It's all in the new May issue of Bloodhorse Magazine. Certainly bad news there for Jockey Heavy on Toledo, but as his agent said, Bob, it sounded like it could have been much worse. Two horses, two jockeys go down, and both horses able to get up. One of the riders already back in action today. The other rider, yes, he's going to be out for a couple of months, but I agree, it sounds like they escaped what certainly could have been a much, much worse scenario.
Yeah, no, Toledo, obviously one of the dominant riders on the Maryland circuit, rides a lot of excellent horses up there. We saw him several times at Oaklawn Park this meet. Good, talented rider. I'm happy it's not severe. Probably, you know, the most common of jockey injuries, the broken collarbone. I'm sure it's incredibly painful, but as we know, these people are very tough, and hopefully he'll come back sound and riding excellently in a couple months.
All right, let's get back to the stakes this weekend. Not a whole lot of graded stakes this weekend, but we're going to be overloaded with them next weekend. One of the two graded stakes that we're going to talk about is the feature at Golden Gate. It's the Grade 3 San Francisco Mile for three-year-olds and up, going a mile on the turf. We've got a big field of 12 going to post in this year's renewal, Bob, including the defending champ, Balnikov.
Yeah, no, this is a race with a lot of illustrious winners since its inception in 1977. You see the likes of Hawksley Hill, Tuzla, Ladies Den, Retta Torrey, Sue Ounces, Singletary, Castledale. So it's been a great race over the years. It'll be sad to see it go.
Well, wait a minute. I'm going to even go one further. So this was a race that actually was a dirt race when it first known as the Golden Gate Mile for many, many years. And yet horses like Citation and Native Diver winning the race in the 50s and 60s. So, I mean, it's got a phenomenal history, this race.
Yeah, and I'm happy that it carries the Grade 3 tag and a good purse, especially for that racetrack of $175,000. And a pretty solid renewal this year. I mean, we've got Astronomer in here. Simon Callahan is back, and he's doing particularly well at Golden Gate when he ships up there. the son of Air Force Blue. Interestingly, you see the pilot is Evan Roman. We saw him riding at Horseshoe Indianapolis yesterday. Obviously, he's done a lot of riding down the years for Callahan, and he seizes the opportunity to go out there and chase this big pot at Golden Gate, a course that he's very familiar with. Astronomer was good enough to run on the Breeders' Cup Mile last year. finished well beaten and was 53-1. But, you know, before that, had run a big race in the City of Hope at Santa Anita behind Hong Kong Harry. Has tactical speed, which ought to be pretty valuable in this race because two of his chief foes come from way back. Very astute-looking claim by Ed Moger of Cathkin Peak, the five horse in here. A horse that the last two races in his career on February 24th and March 24th he's been claimed for $80,000 both times. He's 8-1 in the morning line. He's never raced at Golden Gate, but he's a pretty formidable horse closing ground at Santa Anita, which, you know, might be a more appealing running style up in Northern California than it is at Santa Anita. And then really the defending champ is a hard horse to take at a short price because, you know, we've seen Balnikov many times in the last several months. And he always fires, but usually he comes from way too far back. Now, he managed to get there last year at 7-5. Giovanni Franco takes over from Antonio Frasu. As far as I know, Franco's never ridden him. He's training great for Phil D'Amato. I think that the fact that he's got very good experience over the turf course, the one big win, the last win, in fact, that he had, I'm going to take a shot that he'll repeat, but I certainly wouldn't take him at the short price.
All right, I am going to pick Balnikov on top, and I'm not going to bet him at the short price, but I'm going to pick him because I think there's speed in the race. I think he's been facing better, and all I really need to see is that race three back where he was a length behind Easter and a half a length behind Hong Kong Harry. And those horses are 3-5 if they're in this race, and he wasn't far behind them. He's not super consistent, but I just think he's been facing better, and he obviously can close if there's pace in front of him. So I'm going to look for Balnikov to get back-to-back wins in the Grade 3 San Francisco Mile. Two stakes tomorrow at Oaklawn Park, the first of which is Race 8. It's the Bachelor for three-year-olds going the distance of 6 furlongs, 7 of them going into the starting gate. Very evenly matched, slight favorite on the morning line is Valentine Candy.
Yeah, I should have mentioned earlier, check the weather for these turf races. There's turf stakes on Saturday and Sunday at Aqueduct. Looks like a mixed bag up there. Hopefully they'll stay on the grass. And same thing at Oaklawn. They're expecting some pretty wild weather there tonight, so it'll be interesting to see the track condition as this card starts tomorrow. Bergen's in here. Bergen blew apart the Wingfield over sealed mud at Aqueduct. So if it's an off track, you have to expect him to close under a new rider, Axel Concepcion for Brad Cox. Ran in the slop in the Gotham behind Deterministic Just a Touch and El Grandeo. All horses, I believe two Derby runners, or El Grandeo's in the Derby, Deterministic's not. And is Just a Touch in the Derby?
Yeah, Just a Touch.
Yeah, Just a Touch is in the Derby. So very tough field in the Gotham this year. And the wood was better than it usually is. So, you know, that was the one-turn mile at Aqueduct. This race, both in terms of rivals, should be more to his liking. I think he'll certainly be tough. Time for Truth is in here. And he's another horse that Ron Moquette, you know, kind of put the feelers out on the Derby trail. He ran a good race going a mile and a 16th against much lesser foes. And then he was up near the lead in that Arkansas Derby that Muth won. And, of course, Just Steel and Mystic Dan were behind him. And that was just not only too much, but I think he's a sprinter. He ran great in the Ozark, beaten by Valentine Candy, who unfortunately, for the sake of all the others in here, is in this race, kind of a logical next step for Steve Asmussen to go after the Bachelor. This is a horse that just loves the racetrack. He's 3-for-3. He's looked pretty invincible on it. 5-2 in the morning line seems like a gift. and Ricardo Santana, who won the Ozark on him overtime to Truth, regains the mount from Frankie, who rode him on the synth at Turfway. He just seems like the kind of horse who thrives on racing, probably was doing so well. They sent him up there for that $250,000 pot at Turfway, but now he's back home, and I expect him to just be too much for this group.
Yeah, I picked Valentine Candy as well. I don't love him in this spot, and I think he's just going to get the right trip, and I just think he hated it at Turfway Park on that synthetic surface. I draw a line right through that race. Like the fact that he can stalk the pace, doesn't have to fire to the lead, and there is some other speed in here, and I think he'll be right off the flank or right in behind a wall of two or three in front of him and be the fresh horse on the scene when they arrive at the top of the stretch. The 10th race tomorrow at Oaklawn is the Dig a Diamond Stakes. Fillies and mares here going the 1 mile distance, which is two turns at Oaklawn Park. And pretty evenly matched field as well here, Bob. Number 8, Crypto Mo, is a horse who had her win streak broken last time out when she showed up at Evangeline Downs.
Yeah, I hardly ever do this on the show, but I'm going to go through the field real quick because I think there's a standout in here. Wildwood By, first of all, the one horse just looks overmatched to me. I'm the Boss of Me. The two horse is always sprinted by Midshipman. She's a 6-year-old, and I mean, I can't see her staying. Hoosier Filly is an amazing horse because, I mean, that horse was so highly regarded after her first two starts, including blowing apart the Goldenrod. And, of course, Tom Amos is a veteran trainer. And Hoosier Filly must be driving him crazy. He just can't get her back anywhere close to the way she used to be. He takes the blinkers off, and Rafael Bejarano takes over the mount. Beaudraw looks overmatched. Absinthe needs to improve, but really could for Dwayne Lucas. Olivia Twist is another who'd be questionable around two turns. Stellar Lily definitely needs a wet track, so if they do get bad weather down there, she's worth noting. Crypto Mo's just an amazing story. Purchased for $20,000 at Keeneland by Travis Murphy, Cindy Knoll and Murphy, and Travis Murphy, of course, you know them quite well from Prairie Meadows. And basically started her career like she wasn't any kind of superstar, including getting beaten 25 lengths in the Prairie Meadows debutante under Cassidy Fletcher. Cindy Knoll herself took over, and she peaked with a massive effort, stealing the race in the Iowa Oaks, a race you called. Of course, she'd won the Panthers before that, so she went on a real hot streak at the end of the summer and then was sold for $500,000. So what a dream come true for the Murphy family. They buy this filly for 20, win the Iowa Oaks, and then sell her for $500,000. She ran okay at Evangeline as the favorite. She tired in that race, as she was entitled to. It was first time for Brad Cox. Concepcion also takes the mount on this one. It'll be interesting to see what she does, but I don't see how they touch Blue Light Special. And here, Blue Light Special, it's Manny Esquivel riding for Cipriano Contreras, and they're just an amazing combination. They're 32%. Contreras, really under the radar, has had a fantastic meet at Oaklawn. He's been 26%, was 20 for 76 he is. Whether it rains or doesn't rain, she runs great on everything. She's 7 for 15 lifetime, and she's running great at Oaklawn. She's won her last two races at Oaklawn, and I think clearly the best Indiana-bred 4-year-old filly. I think she'll be very tough to beat, especially with her stalking style in the and what do they call in this race? The Dig a Diamond.
All right, I'm going to go to number 6, Olivia Twist, who's making her second start of the year. She won sprinting at Sunland in her most recent start, and I don't really think that's her game. I think she's just fine around two turns, and I think she's been facing tougher competition most of her career than what she's going to see tomorrow. She's been running against fillies like Wet Paint, Taxed, and Anisette in most of her recent races, and some of them she wasn't very far behind some of those top-class fillies. Second start off the bench, I think she'll be just fine around two turns and sit just in behind the leaders at 5-1 and go on with it for Christian Torres in the Dig a Diamond. All right, we're going to take our next break. When we come back, we're going to head back out west. Couple of nice stakes on the docket tomorrow at Santa Anita. This is the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
This is Woodbine Week on HRRN.
It's time to get ready for the 2024 Thoroughbred season at Woodbine Racetrack, the number one turf track in North America. Season runs from April to December with over $62 million in purses with an industry-leading stakes program including two Canadian Classics, the Grade 1 Million Dollar Rico Woodbine Mile and the Million Dollar King's Plate. Woodbine offers top safety-rated racing and training services, plus world-class facilities. Make Woodbine your home turf this season. Learn more at woodbine.com.
Hi, this is Kurt Becker. Join me each week on the Equine Forum as I take you on a stroll through racing history presented by Keeneland. This week, I look back at the racing career of Cannonade. Listen live on the Equine Forum every Saturday morning on Sirius 162 or XM 207, or visit our website at horseracingradio.net to access the archives and enjoy past editions. It's a stroll through racing history with me, Kurt Becker, presented by Keeneland, only here on HRRN.
You're listening to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
Smart and Sharp, right there toward the inside, is racing in third position. Star Choice behind the wall of horses is now racing in fourth. The filly Royal Heroine is making her run now on the outside, and Lear Fan has dropped back. They're coming to the final 16th of a mile. Royal Heroine sweeping to the lead from the outside. Cozine is now second. Tights is making a late run, and they're coming to the finish. Royal Heroine, a host of others closing in, but here's the wire. Won it. Royal Heroine under expert handling by the bull, Fernando Toro, another win on the Hollywood Park turf course.
Tom Durkin on the call, the first ever Breeders' Cup mile back at Hollywood Park in 1984, won by the filly Royal Heroine, and there is a stake named in her honor tomorrow at Santa Anita. Welcome back to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview here on HRRN. Bobby Newman, Bob Nastanovich, two stakes actually tomorrow at Santa Anita, Bob, the first of which goes as the fourth race on the card. It's the Kona Gold, speaking of good old racehorses. Kona Gold, a great sprinter from about 25 years ago or so. And the Kona Gold Stakes, $100,000 on the line for the older horses, going 6.5 furlongs, field of seven. And whenever you talk about sprints in California, you look for one name these days, and that name is the Chosen Vron, and he shows up. He just never loses.
Yeah, he's amazing. He's 9 for 11 at Santa Anita. He's 16 for 21 lifetime. He won the San Carlos last time, March 16th, pretty easily, going 7 furlongs. That was off a little bit of a freshening. He's working like a charm, like he always does. He's obviously very, very tough to beat. There is a formidable rival in here who got his act back together in his last race on the turf, and that was Forbidden Kingdom, who returned to the turf for the second time in his career, obviously trained by Richard Mandela. Juan Hernandez takes back over for Flavian Pratt. Forbidden Kingdom is a horse that back in the 2022, you'll remember it clearly, when he went into the Santa Anita Derby as the even money favorite against Taiba Messier and Happy Jack, he was, you know, a lot of people's spring Derby pick. And then things just didn't work out for him. His career kind of went into a tailspin. Mandela appears to have him sort of back, doing what he does best. I think 6.5 ought to suit him perfectly. I think he might give the Chosen Vron a run for his money. If you're looking for a long shot to play underneath, for me, that's the two-horse Prince Abu Dhabi, because he finishes his races really strong. He's in marvelous form. He's won 6 of his last 8 with a pair of thirds versus lesser. But he's just a reliable horse for Blaine Wright. Kyle Frey rides him, training just fine at Golden Gate. I wouldn't be surprised to see him finish second or third in here at a big number. I'm going to take a chance. It's probably not wise, but I'm going to take a chance against the Chosen Vron. I think Forbidden Kingdom has the class to stay with him, and I think that he could be the now horse in this race. And I'll take a shot at the 5-2 odds on the Forbidden Kingdom in the Kona Gold.
All right, certainly don't blame you there. I'm not going to try to beat the chosen Ron. I've tried to beat him a few times in the past. I've been wrong every time that I've tried, with the exception of the Breeders' Cup sprint, where he actually ran better than I thought he was going to, finishing fifth, only beaten five lengths by Elite Power and Gunite. What price would those horses be if they were in this race? So the thing about the chosen Vron, aside from the fact that he wins all the time, is that he looks like he's very versatile to me. He's a horse that has won in wire-to-wire fashion a few times, but he doesn't have to have the lead. I mean, he's closed from as far back as sixth going into the far turn when he won the Bing Crosby last year at Del Mar. He's just the definition of a professional, very, very good racehorse. And the fact that he's a gelding, as long as he's sound, I guess we'll get to see him run. And they're obviously looking toward the Bing Crosby in the Breeders' Cup sprint later this year, but trying to pick up some purse money in the Kona Gold tomorrow, and he should be very tough. He is 4-5 on the morning line. The featured race, if you will, tomorrow at Santa Anita is race number 9, the aforementioned Grade 3 Royal Heroin Stakes for fillies and mares, going a mile on the turf. We've got a field of 9 in this race, Bob, and tough to say who's going to go off favored in here. The slight choice on the morning line is number 8, Stay and Scam.
Yeah, great that they have a race named after Royal Heroin, who is just one of the turf starlets of the 80s in Southern California, trained by John Gosden, by the way. She won the Hollywood Derby, beating the boys as a 3-year-old, and then just went on a tear as a 4-year-old. Really eye-poppingly, when she won the Breeders' Cup Mile, and 2 weeks later she was out on the same racetrack at Hollywood winning the Matriarch. So pretty amazing filly and glorious that they've got a stakes named after her. Stay and Scam, has legit outside speed. She'll definitely serve up an honest pace. These are the connections, of course, that we've become very familiar with, starting with Derby and Preakness winner I'll Have Another, Mario Gutierrez and Doug O'Neill, a very good horse for the owner as well of I'll Have Another, J. Paul Redham. We've got Uncorked in here, who to me, I don't really get it. Obviously, almost like Chad Brown in New York, we expect Phil D'Amato to have a presence in these type of turf stakes in California. Uncorked is 3-1 in the morning line. I know Frankie's been hot. Okay, now this is a horse that D'Amato picked up from Brittany Russell. It's an Australian bred, and she's good. She's a 5-year-old mare. She's 3-16, but she hasn't really proven it on stakes at all in this country. I think that's a severely wrong morning line, and very disrespectful to her stablemate, Bella Bell, who's ridden by Antonio Frasu for D'Amato. Of course, those are the connections of this year's Derby entrant, Stronghold. A lot of people are definitely an under-the-radar horse. I'll be very interested when you guys start talking next week about the Derby in the mornings, about Stronghold and what kind of impression he makes. But Bella Bell is a class horse. She's by Bilardo out of a Cape Cross mare. She's run some great races. She won the San Clemente at Del Mar. She finished a big second behind Spinderella in the Del Mar Oaks. Went out to Keeneland, didn't disgrace herself, went third behind Gina Romantica, had the long layoff, and came back great. She came back and she won the Mega Hertz over Mufi, who's nice, and Justique, who's in here. And then she didn't run badly behind in a really tough race. That Buena Vista for a Southern California turf race came up really tough. Ruby Nell, Mufi, and Nadette finished 1-2-3, and she was fifth, not far behind them. 5-1 to me is a crazy morning line, and Bella Bell is my selection of the Royal Heroine.
All right, I went to 7, Uncorked. I like what I saw from her when Brittany Russell was training, who obviously does a phenomenal job. Phil D'Amato, just as strong as Brittany Russell. He seems like he wins every turf race in Southern California. You mentioned he's going to try to win the Kentucky Derby as well this year, and hopefully we'll get him on as part of our Derby countdown shows presented by Hillendale at Alapa during one of the mornings next week. But I think he's going to win the Royal Heroine with Uncorked, who's coming back off a little bit of a layoff, but looking like she's working well for her 2024 campaign. All right, let's head north of the border for the first time in 2024, opening day at Woodbine tomorrow, and the featured event is the Star Shoot for three-year-old fillies going 6 furlongs on the synthetic main track field of 7, gathering in the Star Shoot, and number 2, Mystic Lake, coming off a nice wire-to-wire score at Tampa Bay Downs.
Yeah, I'll start this off with a new shooter in the race, and that's the 4, Miss Roberts, an extremely well-bred daughter of Sayuni out of a good Frankel mare, a filly that really didn't cut much ice for Ed Walker over in England. She's 1 for 8. She's never raced on the synth. All of her races are on turf, and of course, you know, the synth racing is very available there throughout the course of the year. Really no notable performances on her form. She's been training just fine. In fact, she has a very flashy half mile at Palmetto's in 45 and 3, which wasn't even the fastest work of the day. So it must be a very firm turf course at Palmetto's. Has a little piece of maintenance here, and will step on the synth for the first time. It'll be interesting to see what she does. Dancing Duchess is in here. Dancing Duchess is ridden by that Sahin Savach, who had a wonderful year last year at Woodbine, including tons of wins for the Mark Cassie barn, who of course dominates up there. She's a stakes filly. You know, she's a reliable closer. I'm not quite sure if she's more of a route horse than a sprinter, but boy, did she fly home in the Algonquin October 8th. It'll be interesting to see how tight Cassie has her for this race. Like I said, you know, we have a lot, especially up there at Woodbine, we're going to see a lot of horses running as three-year-olds off of substantial layoffs, so proceed with caution. But one horse who I think is absolutely primed because she had a busy winter is Mystic Lake. Couple wins at Tampa. She ran in that Here Comes the Bride, her only try around 2 turns at Gulfstream. That race with Ponce, Life's Inaudible, and Ozara, that came up tough. She set way too fast of a pace and got tired in there. Came out of that, turned back into a sprint, which she prefers, and ran a massive race in hand late in the sophomore fillies against Florida Breds. Daughter of Motown out of It's My Lucky Day mare called Salty Soul. This is Tyler Connor riding for Safi Joseph. Very interesting tandem there. Safi, wherever he ships, he's tough. And he definitely had plenty of nice wins last year at Woodbine. I just think with the fitness edge, it's going to be hard to beat Mystic Lake, who's a short price, 2-1 in the morning line.
Yeah, I also think that she's the speed of the speed. I think she just gets out in front of this field and keeps on going like you, Bob. I think Mystic Lake will win the opening day event, the Star Shoot Stakes, tomorrow, race 8 on the card at Woodbine. All right, we'll take our final break. When we come back, look at a couple stakes on the Sunday cards. You're listening to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
Fans, we have a fantastic day of racing lined up today as we present $200,000 races, the Grade 3 Royal Heroine and the Kona Gold Stakes, featuring superstar millionaire The Chosen Vron, who is looking for his 4th straight win and his 17th lifetime win. The racing is surrounded by one of the biggest event days of the year, events like the wildly popular Frenchie Bulldog Derby, a Hot Wings trackside event, and a Laughs and Lowriders event that features stand-up comedians, a classic car show with over 80 cool cars, and the ever-popular Family Fun Zone. Admission to the infield is only $5. You can get all the details at santanita.com/events. The top jockeys, the top trainers, great events, and world-class racing are all here at the great race place, Santa Anita Park.
Hey, Jude Feld here. I'm back to get you ready for the 150th Kentucky Derby with HRRN's Derby Countdown, presented by Hillendale at Alapa. I'll join Bobby Newman live at Churchill Downs Tuesday through Thursday mornings of Derby Week as we bring you interviews from trackside with jockeys, trainers, owners, and other racing insiders, plus workout reports, breaking news, handicapping advice, and more. It's the Derby Countdown, presented by Hillendale at Alapa, Tuesday through Thursday of Derby Week, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern. Listen on Sirius 161, XM 206, or streaming live at horseracingradio.net.
You're listening to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
Less than a half mile to go now, and Sweet Stepper kicking on for home. Singletary's breathing down his neck in second, and Buckland Manor still full of run at the rail. He needs somewhere to go, though. Sweet Street Turner's up alongside of that, and Runaway Dancer last. Coming to the top of the lane, and Singletary is let loose, and Singletary strikes the front. Buckland Manor now off the rail, comes after him. Sweet Stepper on the center of the track, and then Runaway Dancer. Homeward bound Singletary, Buckland Manor, Sweet Return on the outside. Singletary keeps on finding Buckland Manor, chasing him with Sweet Return, but Singletary staying on in front, and Singletary's won the Arcadia Handicap.
Well, that was the voice of Trevor Denman back in 2005, the Grade 2 Arcadia Handicap won by the great Singletary. Thought we were going to have a chance to talk about Singletary a whole lot today, but unfortunately, not as much. Welcome back to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview here on HRRN. Bobby Newman, Bob Nastanovich. Folks, AmWager is giving away money. New customers get a $150 sign-up bonus plus an instant $10 bonus for HRRN listeners. Go to link.amwager.com/HRRN. You'll get $10 instantly for signing up. Then deposit $150, bet $150, and get a $150 lump sum bonus. It's that easy. Once again, go to link.amwager.com/HRRN to sign up and get your bonuses. AmWager, built by horse players, for horse players. All right, Bob. Well, as mentioned earlier in the show, we were supposed to be talking about the Singletary Stakes as one of three Sunday stakes on tonight's edition of the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview. Entries came out. The Singletary Stakes was not carded on Sunday. My guess is it did not fill. I have not read anything as to whether it has just been canceled for this year or they are going to bring it back on another day. It's a little bit sad. Singletary, by the way, he also won the San Francisco Mile during his racing career. Do you remember the trainer of Singletary?
Yeah, I do, because he's a social media presence. He had a brief check. He's still in the industry. I mean, I can see him, and I was at Lone Star that day when the Breeders' Cup Mile. It was those owners of Little Red Feather Racing. They turned Lone Star into a proper zoo. I mean, they just were pretty wild acting throughout the course of the day. But his name escapes me right now.
All right, Don Chatlos.
John Chatlos. Yeah.
I was going to say, you're going on an awful long time here. I hope you're not looking this up while we're
doing this. I was just trying to think. My brain is a very weak version of Google, Bob.
But Singletary, and obviously Little Red Feather Racing, the same colors as the Chicago Bears, and that's what their silks looked like, and they still use those colors today when they have horses running. And, of course, Singletary, one of the greatest Chicago Bears of all time. But we do not get to analyze the Singletary, but we do have two other Sunday stakes, which are very good, that we do get to talk about. The first of which is the featured event at Aqueduct on Sunday. Race 6 is the Memories of Silver. Very nice racehorse, race filly in her own right, and a nice stake named in her honor for three-year-old fillies going a mile on the turf. 10 were entered, but 2 are main track only, and if the race stays on the turf, number 2, Sweet Rebecca, will likely be favored.
Yeah, she was marvelous, wasn't she? Memories of Silver, of course, trained by Jimmy Toner. Jerry Bailey rode her in most of her races. She finished her career 9-for-19 with 3 seconds, 5/3. She only raced at Aqueduct once, and it was her first lifetime start when she was beaten third. But boy, did she get cooking as a 4-year-old. She ran in the Breeders' Cup Mile nowhere near as successfully as Royal Heroine, ran third in the Matriarch, and then started winning big races. She won the Beverly D. She won the Ballston Breeders' Cup Handicap and the Diana. Just a wonderful race mare. And like Roxalana and Royal Heroine, nice to see great fillies named after getting their stakes races named after them. This is an interesting race. Boy, do I hope it stays on the grass for a lot of reasons, because there's a lot of exciting young 3-year-old fillies who appear that they could be going places this season. Let's start off with a recent maiden winner at Keeneland. Jonathan Thomas sent out Faith Understood for Robert LaPenna. He pretty much trains exclusively for Robert LaPenna and George Robert Bridges Augustine Stable, daughter of Catholic boy, and she was really tough under Florent Giroux, winning that maiden by a head. Obviously, maiden races at Keeneland are extremely tough, so I don't look down my nose at that form. Manny Franco picks up the mount. Pretty interesting that he's turning her back around. I think of Thomas as a pretty conservative trainer, pretty aggressive entry on his part, for sure. Living Magic was a very busy 2-year-old filly last year. We've gotten really used to these Justifies being of extremely high quality, male, female, turf, dirt, doesn't matter, synth, they handle that. This one's real turfy. It's out of a Footsteps in the Sand mare. Phil Schoenthal trains, Kendrick Carmouche rides. She's pretty accomplished, and she ran in a ton of stakes races last year. Her best one was over this turf course, October 27th, when she won the Chelsea Flower over Ozaro, who seems to show up in a lot of horses' forms all the time, and Gold Lightning. So she's very capable. You have to rewatch her race in the Appalachian, the Grade 2 Appalachian, April 6th. She had a terrible trip. And so Schoenthal enters her aggressively in this spot. But it's hard for me to argue with the merits of Sweet Rebecca. It's interesting to me that Tyler Gaffleon, who hardly ever shows up at Aqueduct, goes in there to ride this filly for Chad Brown. Of course, those are the connections of Sierra Leone, expected to be the second choice, and deservedly so, in the Kentucky Derby based on his accomplishments. Horse ran a great race March 10th at Gulfstream Park. Came from out of the clouds. After being checked at the start, an American Pharoah filly. Strangely, I'm not sure what the deal with has been switched from Brendan Walsh to Chad Brown, but obviously they're both very successful trainers. She's been training right along at Payson Park and ships up to New York. I think, you know, with a cleaner trip, she'll be very tough to beat in here. It's hard for me to oppose Sweet Rebecca and the Memories of Silver.
Yeah, I'm not going to try to beat her either. I loved what I saw from her first time out. I think she'll be even better second time out. And if that happens, it's going to be tough for the others to beat her. Bob and I both like Sweet Rebecca. Something you mentioned before you started talking about her, you were talking about how you love her. We've had so many races this weekend that we've talked about named after some great racehorses of the past. I also like the fact when the races make sense, like the Roxalana is a filly and mare sprint on dirt at Churchill, where Roxalana was very good. Heroine is a mile on turf. It was a race that was originally at Hollywood Park, but has been now moved to Santa Anita because Hollywood Park doesn't exist anymore. That makes sense. It wouldn't make sense if the Royal Heroine was run at Prairie Meadows going 5/8 on the dirt. thankfully, it's not. It just like the Awesome Again doesn't make sense being run at Santa Anita, a place where Awesome Again never, ever raced. But that's, you know, so I love when the races make sense. They take place on the surface, at the distance, at the venue where these runners were best known. And we've got a few of those this weekend on the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview. The final race we're going to talk about is the Sunday Stake at beautiful Woodbine. It's the Woodstock for 3-year-olds going 6 furlongs on the synthetic main track. Field of 6 in this race, Bob. Pretty close on the morning line between 2, Midnight Mascot and 6, Naptown, as to who's going to go off favored.
Yeah, I think it's between them. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what the 4-horse Toon Chi does in here. Emma Jane Wilson riding for Barbara Minshall. Pretty nice colt. Ran in the Grade 1 Summer and ran 4th in both the Grade 1 Summer and the Grade 3 Gray. Logically looking at this horse's form, it looks like he'll need the race. The same might you can say about Naptown, who quite frankly might be more of a route horse despite the fact that he's by Munnings. He's out of a stamina-laden Medaglia d'Oro Marigold Gold Medalist. Powerful connections here. Robert LaPenna, Mattaquette Stables, trained by Graham Motion. Graham Motion has definitely been trying to get this horse ready in the mornings at Fair Hill, some snappy works, and adds Lasix for the first time. He looks like a horse that probably is being primed for the season as opposed to this race. And, you know, I really like Midnight Mascot in general. He was excellent in the Clarendon last year against Ontario Breds. He just looks like a great sprinter. He's got good team. Come from off of it. He can lay pretty close. Had a big work, 5 furlongs and 59 and 3. Patrick Husbands, who obviously has ridden with great success for Cassie down the years. Son of Army Mule out of a Midnight Loop mare. Everything says sprint for this horse, and 9 to 5 I think would be a generous price on Midnight Mascot in the Woodstock.
Yeah, he's my top pick as well. I like the fact that he has 9 listed workouts coming back for his return to this race, a lot more than some of the others who are coming off layoffs. And I just think he's going to fire a big shot off the bench. Midnight Mascot for both Bob and myself in the Woodstock Sunday at Woodbine. That's 11 races. Time now for the Am Wager Best Bets.
The Am Wager Best Bet.
Best Bet. All right, my friend, take it away.
Yeah, I'm going to go to the Dig a Diamond Stakes at Oaklawn Park. Talked about the whole field. I think there's some pretty suspect entrants, and one of them is clearly not Blue Light Special. She's won 5 of her last 6. And she loves Oaklawn Park. She's won her last 2 at Oaklawn Park. She's kind of gotten her act together there for a couple of guys that have had a great meet, trainer Cipriano Contreras, Manny Esquivel, and I think from the 9-hole, the outside post, her stalk-and-pounce style ought to suit her in the Dig a Diamond at 7-2 in the morning line. She looks like great value to me, Bob.
All right, I am going to go to opening day at Woodbine and the featured star shoot tomorrow, a filly that both you and I love is number 2, Mystic Lake. I think she is in good form. I think she is the clear lone speed of the field, and I think she's just going to get out, get in front, and keep on going in the star shoot. She is 2-1 on the morning line. I think that would be a gift and a half if you got 2-1. I actually think she's going to be closer to even money, which doesn't interest me as much, but 2-1, I'm running to the windows because I think she just beats the gate, and that line is long gone in the opening day star shoot at Woodbine. Race goes at about 4:52 Eastern time. All right, want to remind everybody, a huge week next week here on HRRN. First of all, it's going to be Winning Colors Week all week, presented by Keeneland Sales. So we'll be reliving some of the great memories from the great race mare Winning Colors all week. And, of course, it's Kentucky Derby Week, not only here on HRRN, but around the world. Jude Feld going to join me, as he always does, live from the backstretch at Churchill Downs next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday mornings for our Derby Countdown shows presented by Hill & Dale at Alapa. Once again, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern on Sirius 161 XM 206 or online at horseracingradio.net. We are going to be talking to trainers, to jockeys, to handicappers, to owners, giving you our sights and sounds, everything that we're seeing or hearing live right there at Churchill Downs. It's supposed to be on and off rain early in the week, but I think much more mild and nicer conditions by the time we get to Oaks and Derby Day. Nice weather as far as temperatures go all week long, and we are going to have fun on our Derby Countdown shows Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern time. Then back to normal schedule, First Bet Racing Show and the call-in show on Thursday. The racing show goes from 4 to 6 Eastern. The call-in show, 6 to 7 Eastern. Betting with Bobby next Friday, right smack dab in the middle of that Kentucky Oaks card, and we will be bringing you live racing action from Churchill Downs both Thursday and Friday here on the network. And then Bob and I will have a special Kentucky Derby edition of the Am Wager Weekend Stakes Preview next Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern time. If you're busy watching Churchill next Friday, don't worry about it. You can always go to our website, horseracingradio.net, and pull up the archives of all of our shows, including the Am Wager Weekend Stakes Preview. We are going to look at all 8 of the graded stakes scheduled for Kentucky Derby at the Kentucky Derby Day at Churchill Downs as part of our Am Wager Weekend Stakes preview next weekend, with extra time dedicated to the Kentucky Derby. That's going to wrap it up tonight on the Am Wager Weekend Stakes preview. For our producer Lee Della Pina, my co-host Bob Nastanovich, I'm Bobby Newman. Have a great weekend at the track, everybody.